Hey there. Ever wonder what happens to all those amazing screenplays that never make it to the big screen? Well, wonder no more. Welcome to Table Read Podcast, where we bring those undiscovered gems to life. Picture this, talented actors giving incredible performances with the occasional laugh or blooper thrown in, produced by award-winning pros. From drama to comedy, TV pilots to feature films, there's something for everyone. And guess what? We release new episodes every week, so don't forget to hit that subscribe button. Table Read Podcast, where great stories finally get their chance to shine.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to this special Geek Bites that we'll be doing every day for the next 9 days. That's reviewing every episode of What If Season 2 to carry you through the holiday season. The Geek Buddies are here. I am the Outlaw John Rooker, writer, producer, and host here on the Geek Buddies.
I am Michael Vogel, writer and producer of animated TV shows and movies.
And this is Shannon McClung. I'm a television actor and an animation writer. We'll just start with that.
How's that coffee?
Not kicking in quick enough.
It's tough to have a heart out when you're fumbling all over. But anyway, let's go to episode one. We're going to talk about episode one today of season two of What If, something that I think all three of us have really enjoyed season one. We're looking forward to seeing what we're going to get in season two. What if Nebula joined the Nova Corps? And this one featured all the voices pretty much, except for we had another voice actress coming in for the voice of Glenn Close, but pretty much everyone across the board came back to voice their characters, starting with Karen Gillan, Taika Waititi, Peter Serafinowicz, Jamie Kennedy. We had a number, oh no, not Jamie Kennedy, we had Seth Green. We had a number of people. Well, I get those two mixed up.
We don't all look the same, John.
Michael Rooker and even Jude Law coming back to be Yon Rogg. And this one basically is kind of a Blade Runner, a Ghost in the Shell noir approach to What If, which I thought was great to see in the Marvel Universe. Thought the animation was gorgeous and everything like that. But the basic storyline is that Nebula is now a member of the Nova Corps, and she is trying to solve this case about what happened to Yondu here at the beginning. She discovers it's got more to do with Nova itself, and that Nova Prime herself has made a deal with Ronan after having stopped Ronan from attacking her planet by putting the shield up. She works with Yon Rogg to basically betray Nova, betray Nebula there, and open the shield for and let Ronan through so that she can keep her power. So, Michael, interesting storyline to start off with. Not a joyful, happy, let's go, we're back. What if season two, it's Christmas. Much more noir, darker, rainy, dour approach here to start the season, but also talking about hope and redemption. So what are your thoughts on the storyline here overall?
I like that you said it was kind of Blade Runner.
I mean, I'm trying to be nice for the kids who haven't seen Blade Runner. So yeah, go ahead. Yeah,
it's Blade Runner.
Yeah, basically.
It's Blade Runner.
Yeah.
I thought it was great. I think the greatest Christmas present that us geeks can get this holiday season is What If coming along and reminding us why we like the Marvel Cinematic Universe first place. And I think in a half hour, this episode of What If kicking things off told a better story that felt more like the Marvel that we loved than the past three or so Marvel movies that we've gone to the theaters to see. I think it was great. I think it was a blast. You know, I think it kind of shows, and I do think the next 9 days are going to prove this out. I think the reason that Marvel might be able to pull through the slump that they are in right now is in the 10 years leading up to where we are now that they had 10 plus years.
Sure.
They created a bank of characters that we love. And we love to see them. And what if proves is you can take all those characters and recontextualize them and put them in a completely different place, different vibe, different tone, different noir-esque kind of story. And we know who the characters are. We know how they're going to act. Yeah. And when they act the way they're supposed to act, we're like, yeah, this is great. And I think this is what this was. This was a great Nebula story. It was a great Xandar story. It was a great Kree story. You got all of your Marvel alien characters that you loved in there. I think we didn't get Rocket. That's the only one. But we got Groot. We got Korg. We got Howard. We got Yon Rogg. We got Nova Prime. We got all of them. And yeah, to your point, the animation was ridiculously gorgeous.
Yeah.
So I was a fan of this from top to bottom, and it really just made me excited for the next 8 episodes that we're about to get.
Yeah, Shannon, your thoughts on this? You know, Karen Gillan doing the kind of subtle. We'll get to the voiceover performances in a second, but more the storyline here, playing it. I'm pretty even keel throughout the whole episode here as she's trying to solve this case. Did you like the way this case unfolded? Did you like the way we were getting certain reveals as this was going along? Did you kind of see some of these reveals coming? What did you think about the story here for the first episode?
I think the beauty of What If is getting to play with these genres that they haven't been able to tackle in the main MCU, because it might feel like an extreme departure for like the big continuous story that you're telling, right? But this hard-boiled detective story I thought was great. And like, as you know, one of the things that What If does with their opening credits is you see who from the movies is gonna be.
Good point.
Yeah. So you know, the whole idea that I'm like, all right, who's gonna be the bad guy here? Mm-hmm. Like, you're able to suss it out pretty fast, but that doesn't take away from the enjoyment of it. I mean, yeah. Nebula with the, you know, again, with the detective voiceover, sort of withdrawn, very, very even keel, as you said, John, knowing that she has this tragic past where she's lost Gamora. I thought it was so much fun. And Peter Serafinovich.
Yeah.
I love his character. I mean, you know, he's one that got knocked off in the first Guardians, but I think he's such a fun presence in this. And bringing back Jude Law, like, I was really surprised that Jude Law did this. But getting to a character that isn't a film that some folks weren't a big fan of, but getting to see him in this, it was a lot of fun. And I hope they are able to continue to play with different genres, because this was a blast.
Yeah, as a hardcore Blade Runner fan, I really loved this episode for the most part. I have a couple of nitpicking things, but other than that, I really enjoyed this episode. It's a full 30 minutes too. I thought it was going to be like a 22, you know, kind of cut it a little bit, but it was with credits. I mean, I liked that they took its time and went place to place and gave you some, how can I say this, a new way to look at everything that's happening here on Xandar. And yeah, like you said, bringing Garth and Saul back, which is the Peter Serafinowicz character, interesting character to bring back. And it makes sense, the things that he's doing throughout. But the way they bring the certain sections of this of Xandar to life, I really enjoyed from the beginning there with the rain and the whistling and that arrow thing that he's got. Which I don't know the name of just yet, but like the arrow thing that Yondu uses, to where we see what this is all about, and she's got the schematics. We go to Howard the Duck's place, and Howard's place has its own life. We see Korg there. We see who's the homie with the knife, with the hands for knives. It's his friend there from Ragnarok. I forget. He's the bartender. Oh no, he's one of the guys there. And then you get Drax in there getting mad at the arcade machine. But you get the back and forth, and you get the interesting nature of it all, and that everyone is out for themselves to a degree. And then we get everything that goes on when she breaks out Yon-Rogg, when they go underneath. Really interesting stuff that you get. And then the twist, which you kind of saw coming. It's Yon-Rogg, for God's sakes. But the Nova Prime twist I liked overall as well, even though maybe you might have suspected that might have been a part of it. And her turning on them I thought was fantastic as well, and ended up taking care of Ronan. And I wonder if this is the theme going forward, Shannon. Do you think this is what we're going to be focusing on, this feeling of redemption and hope? Because it's almost meta in a way, because Marvel right now is maybe seeking a way out of the dark into the light, as the Watcher gave us a little bit of narration. Do you think they're accidentally meta right now with this episode? Do you like this? Do you have the sense that this is the feeling we're going to get throughout these next 9 episodes?
I mean, I think with a lot of stories, hope tends to be a recurring theme.
Sure.
These were written a while ago.
Right.
More than likely, the first 2 seasons were probably written around the same time. So more than likely, I think it's probably just a little bit of serendipity. But my guess is this will probably not be the theme of the whole season, because I feel like the theme of the first season was just the whole idea of, you know, the Guardians of the Multiverse.
Right.
Everyone kind of getting a second chance. So, I mean, I don't think, I don't know. I mean, after like a first season that was very, very separate, but kind of came together at the end, based off of the titles, I'm not really seeing a sort of big combo event at the end of this.
Okay.
I could certainly be wrong. I may have looked at the titles of the first season and be like, nope. and I would have been incorrect. But no, I mean, I don't think that's going to be the recurring theme of the season, but it was definitely the recurring theme of this episode. And again, sticking with that classic hard-boiled detective trope, the person who hired you is ultimately the bad guy.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. What did you think, Mike, about the themes of hope and redemption here? Do you sense that we're going to a larger story? Do you see maybe seeds being planted? As someone who is showrun and understands that you've got to connect these episodes to lead to something at the end, do you sense they've maybe laid a little groundwork for something here?
I do think that there's going to be some kind of bigger connection, but I don't think I saw anything in this episode that led to that. Like, I just think, just from the trailers and kind of stuff that we've seen, I do think that there will sort of be that some kind of multiversal coming together thing at the end of season two, just sort similar to what we had in season one. But I don't think this episode had any kind of giant, like, oh, there it is, that's the key. And I don't think that the hope and redemption is necessary. I mean, I think Shannon's right. Hope and redemption is a pretty consistent theme in stories in general. But I think what's great about What If is that every week we can get something new. We might get another rip-roaring comedic episode. We might get an action movie. We might get, you know, a horror genre. And each one is going to kind of follow those tropes. And I do think within this episode, I mean, there's two things. One, what I love about all of these What If episodes is, and I think what they do that's really smart, and I don't know that we brought this up in season one, but the what ifs are always just one single choice off of the MCU timeline we know. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's pretty key to giving us context. It's like, even though these are all their own things and you can enjoy them, like, they don't go, oh, well, Nebula was actually created 15 years earlier by a guy that was this, and then she went here. It's pretty simple. Like, Ronan turned on Thanos around Guardians of the Galaxy time, killed Thanos, killed Gamora. That's the only difference from our timeline that we know, and we end up here. So we sort of are like in a little bit of familiar territory, even though it's unfamiliar. But then separate from the Marvel Universe, and to your points about hope and redemption, this episode visually and in the writing was so strong in that the idea of light and darkness was so clear. The Nova Corps... The Nova Corps kind of mantra of don't go away from the light, don't shy away from the light, be true to the light, all that stuff. The idea that the giant shield, you know, we know Xandar is this very sunny, bright place, and that it was the shield closing that kind of turned it into Blade Runner.
Yeah.
You know, and so Blade Runner is so inherently dark and rainy and moody. And then at the end, the shield generator parting and the light coming back. So within the episode of just kind of telling a really nice, tight story on its own, the visuals, the writing, everything just kind of worked together to make that redemptive arc in that sort of detective noir-esque universe really, really hit home.
Yeah, let me ask you one thing before we get to a bit of a mini break here. The writing here was interesting, Michael, and of course, Shannon, definitely right afterwards, both of you writing numerous animated shows. So what did you think about the construction of the writing here and the back and forth and the dialogue here between Nebula and, let's say, Howard and Nebula and Yon-Rogg and then Nebula with Nova Prime? And how this all led, and even the voiceover both at the beginning and the end here from the Watcher, Jeffrey Wright there. What did you think about the writing here? What stood out to you in some of the construction of the episode and the writing?
I mean, the writing for the show has been very, very consistent. The characters sound like the characters. And even though you're switching up the genre, I mean, there are some mild alterations that they've probably made, but ultimately the characters are the characters. I mean, as Vogel pointed out, that one of the positives of this incredible run that Marvel has had is there is this massive stable of characters that the audience knows right off the bat. And it's people that you haven't necessarily seen put together before.
Right.
So just in terms from the plotting, the dialogue, I mean, I love the dialogue between Saul and Nebula right at the beginning. And again, that was just teeing up beautifully what this episode is, but also all of the back and forth that she had with Howard and with Korg. Yeah. I mean, again, everything is just, I mean, the comedy is there. It's not hitting you over the head, but the comedy is very much there. That Marvel comedy. And again, I think as animation writers, we like to pat ourselves on the back a bit. And it's like, the writers of this series have been able to do something that some of the folks in the theaters have not been able to do recently.
Okay. All right, Michael, what are your thoughts on the writing here and how this episode was constructed, right? And the back and forth, rather, in some of these scenes here. What stood out to you? What worked for you as you're watching it?
Yeah, I mean, just to echo what Shannon said, there's this thing, I've talked to some writers about it. We call it like the Bugs Bunny rule. Okay. The thing that makes Bugs Bunny and the Looney Tunes characters great is that, like, if you take Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck and you say, Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck go on a cruise. Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck go to Vegas for the weekend. Bugs Bunny and Daffy Duck go to Disney World. It doesn't matter what you say. You sort of inherently know what you're in for. You know that Daffy is going to act a certain way. You know that Bugs is going to one up. Like, you just know because you know the characters so well. And What If works because it follows that Bugs Bunny rule. Like, Nebula, if you put, I'm trying to think of a character. If you put Star-Lord as the lead of a noirish Blade Runner, very serious thing, it's not going to work. It's going to be the opposite. You're going to be like, this is a funny take on, let's watch someone who's a complete moron be Harrison Ford in Blade Runner. Like, it's not going to work. And you know that. But Nebula is just the right choice because everything about her personality, you're like, I get it. Yeah. This is who she is. And when she walks in, you know, when she's sitting down with Howard and Howard is like, I don't know. So what kind of moron would understand what this thing is? And then Korg pops up and he's like, hello. And you're like, oh, yeah, got it. Like, you just sort of get who the characters are. And I think that it speaks very highly of like the Marvel characters that we've fallen in love with over the past years. But it's really good writers who know how to use those characters. They know which characters to pick. You're like, OK, we're doing a space thing. Yeah. Here's who I have on the table. We need a bad guy. Okay, well, Ronan is Kree. Oh, let's see if we can get Yon-Rogg in here. You know, it makes sense.
Yeah.
And then I think also brevity. I think the other thing that stands out to me is when you have these 30-minute episodes that are little mini features and they work. I mean, I think I have one minor quibble with the episode that I'm like, all right, that's a little bit of a leap, but I'll give it to you. And other than that, I just thought it was really tight all the way through. I mean, you're right. Yeah. Jude Law shows up. Well, it's Yon-Rogg. You know he's going to be a dick. Like, he's going to turn. If you've watched Blade Runner or any noir movie, as soon as Nova Prime shows up at the beginning, is like, I need you to do something off the books. You're like, bad guy.
Yeah.
Bad guy. But like, sometimes with a good story, if the surprise is satisfying, it doesn't matter if you saw it coming.
Right.
And Nova Prime turning on Nebula at the end and turning her back on Xandar and doing everything she did, even though the second she showed up on the holo screen, I was like, yeah, Nova Prime's bad in this. You got to the end and you go, yeah, Nova Prime was bad. But that was very satisfying, and I think they did it well. And so it's like, yeah, it works.
Yeah, I like the story. I like the writing as well. A little bit the Howard and Nebula got quite just to the edge of where it was a little too much, especially at the end there when they're having the back and forth as the sun is coming up. But overall, I really did enjoy the writing and as you said, the back and forth with the number of the characters that the Nebula had. It worked perfectly, and the twists, even though you saw them coming, worked well because of what they had constructed throughout writing wise. We should give credit to the writer here, credited here, Matthew Chauncey, and Stephen Frank is the director. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to jump into the last section here in just a second.
Hello, Geek Buddies fans. Before we jump into today's episode, let's give a warm thank you to our sponsor, Marquee TV. Their support is why we're able to bring this podcast to you. Marquee TV isn't just any streaming service. They're your gateway to an incredible world of arts and culture.
That's right, Johnny. I've explored Marquee TV, and I've been amazed by their vast library of performances, exclusive interviews, and behind-the-scenes content. It is a treasure trove for any arts and culture lover. Right now, I'm in the middle of watching the Royal Shakespeare Company's production of The Tempest, and I've also got my eye on that Shakespeare masterclass taught by Dame Judi Dench.
Yeah, Shannon, and speaking of the RSC, I watched Christopher Eccleston's performance of Macbeth last night, and I'm going to jump into Kit Harington's performance of Henry V from the Donmar Warehouse.
Imagine having the world's most breathtaking ballets, dramatic theater productions, and magical operas at your fingertips. That's the experience Marquee TV offers, making the arts accessible wherever you are.
And we've got a special treat for our listeners. Marquee TV offers 3 months of access for just 99 cents. That's right, 3 months for only 99 cents with the code BUDDIES, B-U-D-D-I-E-S. Simply visit marquee.tv and use the promo code BUDDIES to dive into the world of arts like never before. Bring the arts home with Marquee TV. Get 3 months for just 99 cents. Visit marquee.tv to start your journey into the world of arts now. Use code BUDDIES.
Explore the extensive library of performances on Marquee TV today and keep up with the latest in art streaming by following at Marquee TV on social media.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
I mean, I suppose I could play music there. Off of Shannon. Michael, I go back to you. You've been sitting in these, you've sat in director rooms here and listening to voiceover work done by numerous actors. Shannon, you've also done the same. I've been on the other side on the mic. I've never sat in the room, watched people and judged. How did you think, what did you think of the voiceover work here from everybody involved? And we should give Julian Grossman some love here. She's the voice of Nova Prime, stepping in for Glenn Close, and she's the voice of the ship's computer in Star Trek Discovery, for people who may be aware of her voice. So what did you think of the voiceover work here throughout from everybody in the show?
I thought it was great. I mean, I think that, you know, I think there's some really I think there's really great voiceover actors out there. You know, there's the Tara Strongs and the John DiMaggio's of the world. And so sometimes when you have something like this and you get all of the A-list celebrities in to do it, you're like, oh, did you really need them? Like, you know, we've seen so many animated movies where they cast some big celebrity who comes in and you're like, oh, they were not great in the voice booth. Mm-hmm. But I think with What If is specifically having these actors come in and play these roles again, there's something really fun and satisfying about it. It's nice to watch these characters and know that it is the actual character who has played this in the Marvel Universe. And I think, you know, in the case of some of them, like with Nebula, you've inhabited this character so long that you just get her. So you're playing her, and it gives you that extra layer of like, this is really the Nebula that I know. Yeah. And then with other characters like Yon-Rogg with Jude Law, I think that, to Shannon's point, look, I don't think that maybe, I don't know what Jude Law's experience was on Captain Marvel, but maybe he was really excited to be in a Marvel movie, came in and was like, well, okay, I didn't get to do as much as I thought I was going to do. Could have been a little bit better. And then he gets to come in here and really play around and have fun. You know, like this was a great, fun bit part. You know, he probably came in for an afternoon, did his lines, but had a blast. And so I think that it's really nice that they get to do that. And I think that so far, I mean, I'm trying to think if in season one there was anything where like, oh, that didn't really work. But for the most part, I think the voice acting is really strong in these episodes.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Shannon, your thoughts on the voice acting throughout? You know, as Nebula, Karen Gillan being asked to do something different with Nebula than maybe she's done before.
Well, I mean, as to what Vogel already said, I mean, the folks that have inhabited these characters for so long, Taika Waititi with Korg, even like Seth Green, who you know has a lot of experience in a VO booth,
right?
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, everybody was really, really good. I mean, again, I didn't see Jude Law's name at the beginning of the credits. Like that was one that I didn't see. So I'm listening to it. I'm like, man, this guy is good. And lo and behold,
you are good.
But again, my favorite is definitely going to be Garth and Saul, Peter Serafinovich, Witz, just because he, as a performer, he is really funny. I mean, he played the Tick on Amazon Prime series that ran for two years. But the way that he was able to balance that super serious noir approach that he had at the beginning, that classic back and forth that he has with Nebula, and then at the end when Korg is just like, hey, look at one of the bad guys. And he and Jude Law have this laugh off that just gets more and more manic. I mean, it's just really, really funny. I mean, there are definitely theatrical actors who are not as successful making that leap to VO, but that is not the case with anyone in this particular episode.
Yeah, and we even got, as you mentioned, Michael, some of the great voiceover actors who do this for a living. Fred Tatasciore was in here as Groot, so it was great to see Fred Tatasciore maybe kicking the tires on that possibility, considering some of the news that came out yesterday about a certain actor who plays I Am Groot. Michael, you mentioned this, so I will go to you first. Normally I go to Shannon first to make turns, but Michael, you mentioned nitpicks. I have a couple. What is your nitpick as we wrap up this review of this episode?
It's really just one minor story thing that I kind of get it. I let it slide because it's a half hour episode, but if you were really tracking everything, Nova Prime telling Nebula, go figure out what this is, wanting her to get into the mainframe. It all makes sense. Like, she's a cyborg. You can't open this thing. Well, like, you need someone to get it. You need her to get it. But Nebula making the choice to go break Yon-Rogg out of prison, no one leads her to that road. And it's like, of all the people she could have broken out, she happened to break out the one person who was the guy that ultimately was working with Nova Prime. Like, it's a nitpick, but like, if you had just had Nova Prime even like mention Yon-Rogg, you know, if anything that kind of like was like, oh, I was trying to push Nebula in that direction, but Nebula making that choice and then Yon-Rogg being the guy who ultimately would, like, that was like a coincidental thing that you're like, well, that really worked out well for everybody. But like I said, that's a pretty minor nitpick in an episode like this where, you know, you're kind of like, all right, I get it. He was the best of the best. Nova, you could say Nova Prime knew that Nebula was going to do that. It's just like there's probably like one line of dialogue that would have ironed that out.
Yeah.
But other than that, everything tracked pretty clearly. And I thought it all made sense. And it was simple and clear and direct and straightforward and character focused and enjoyable. So aside from that one little bit, I give this episode high marks on the storytelling front.
Okay. Shannon, any thoughts on any nitpicks overall for you?
Agree with Vogel on that one. I was like, that was convenient. The only one, and maybe because I only watched the episode once, maybe they did do this. I think having one line of dialogue from Nova Prime discussing the state of Xandar, like, I don't know how much longer we're going to be able to do this.
It isn't until the end. She doesn't say anything. I've seen it twice now. She doesn't say anything until the end. So, yeah.
Well, she does say, I don't know that Xandar is going to survive the night.
Right, right, right. But she's not saying it because, you know.
Right. Fair. Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's the only thing. A little bit more of a commentary from her, I think, would have worked.
Yeah. I have two and a half. How about that? Two and a half. I have two. One is that I take your point, Michael, and go a step further. Let's say she knew she was going to do that. Nebula was going to be wanting to find out what happened because, of course, she used to roll with Yondu. So she takes advantage of that. Let's say she knows that she's going to go to Yanrog and do all that. I can concede all that, but at the end there, not knowing that Nebula is going to not want to go with her, not want to be part of this thing with Ronan, who had killed her father and her sister. Like, to me, I'm like, if you're supposedly going to guess all these things she's going to do, this one seems like an easy one to guess, and you would have been aware of it. And then we got a little bit of her prejudice there because she said, "I'm not going to take your hand, and you're a machine or whatever," and then shoots her and kills herself in essence. So yeah, I thought that was a little bit of a nitpick for me. I also would have liked a stronger motivation from Howard the Duck other than liquor license, maybe just something a little bit liquor license and then something else. I think that would have solved that problem for me. And I would have liked a little variation in Karen Gillan's voiceover work. I know Nebula most of the time is very breathy and she does it very breathy, and I usually don't mind it, but this was so even keel. I wanted just some emotions to pop up. You know, even Harrison Ford in Blade Runner, Deckard had emotions in certain moments. So I would have liked some emotion to pop up beyond the screaming and these moments that are logical. But other than that, no complaints on Karen's performance. She was great, but just a little bit of variation emotionally I would have liked overall. But yes, overall episode, effing fantastic. Just some nitpicks there. All right, any final words on this as we wrap up, gentlemen? Any final words you want to say? Anybody want to go first?
I'm going to save as many words as I can because we're doing eight more of these.
That's true. Fair point.
Well, yeah. What is, I don't have any more to say on this one, but what is tomorrow's episode title?
I don't have that in front of me, but thanks for calling me out. No, I have it. Here it is. It is, What If Peter Quill Attacked Earth's Mightiest Hero? So Peter Quill versus the Avengers.
All right. I am excited. Yeah. And I guess we saw in the trailer, so we know that we have like a different lineup for the Avengers with that one. I think including Annette Bening. Let's see. We'll see how that goes.
Okay, there's a final word. Yeah. All right. Well, there you go. That's our spoiler review here for episode one of What If Season 2, What If Nebula Joined the Nova Corps. We hope you enjoyed our conversation here. Shannon, what do we have to tell them?
Yeah, if you'd like to follow us on social media, on Twitter, it's @geek_buddies. On Instagram, @the_geek_buddies. If you'd like to follow me on social media, on Twitter, it's @Shannon_McClung. On Instagram, @ShannonTheGeekBuddy. If you would like to follow Mr. Vogel, it is @MKToon. And if you'd like to follow Mr. Roca, I'm going to go super serious Nebula hardboiled detective here. Follow Matt the Roca says.
Mikey.
Well, I hope you like us because you got eight more days of us. And here's what you could do to help us do what we do. You can smash that like button below, subscribe to Johnny's Outlaw Nation page, leave your comments below. What did you think of this episode? What If? How do you think it stacks up to season one? How do you think these animated episodes stack up to the regular MCU? Let us know everything below. If you're listening to us on a podcast, leave us some comments and some stars so we go up in the rankings and more people can find us. And as always, the best thing you can do is retweet this video, post it on your socials, send it to your friends, and tell them to hang out with your buddies, the Geek Buddies.
There you go. And of course, tomorrow we're going to be dropping our regular show, our weekly regular show that we do. And our main topic will be our discussion of episode two of What If. So it's going to be attached to all the other stuff. So be aware of that. It will not be a separate video tomorrow. But after tomorrow, going forward, it will be a separate video. And then we'll see what happens near the end there next week when we all come back from our vacation or our holiday here. All right. Thank you all so much for joining us. And we'll talk to you next time with another brand new episode here of The Geek Bites. Should we do a thing? Do you guys want to do a thing or just kind of end?
Just It's a bite. It's a bite. Okay. Just a go. Bite. Just go with it. It's a bite.
Bye, bye everybody.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.